Coming up on this episode of the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, Chris and I share our wish list for things we want to see in episode 7. We also discuss comics, rumors, collecting, rebels, and another round of things that make you go, All that and more coming up on this episode of the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, and it starts right now.
Just got to the Sarlacc pit.
And the powerful Pleiades.
The almighty Sarlacc.
Binds the galaxy together.
All powerful Sarlacc.
Its energy surrounds us and binds us.
Welcome to the Sarlacc Pit, official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, the fans podcast. So grab your lightsabers and join your hosts, Matt Cranky and Chris Hoffice Planet, for this round of discussions.
Welcome, Star Wars fans, to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, the podcast to help you digest everything in the Star Wars universe. The Sarlacc Pit is brought to you by GalacticBinder.com and Yodasnews.com, and we thank those guys for their support of the podcast. Hey, this is episode number 75. I have a milestone, 75 for August 7th, 2014. If you're new to the show, my name is Matt, your co-host. And let me bring in, on the other side of the virtual podcast desk, your creator, Chris Hoff, Ice Plant Smith. What's up, my friend? We're back again. How you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing okay, I guess. Hurt my back last week, so I'm just now really getting up and around. So,
hey. Wow, Harrison Ford hurt his leg. You're hitting your back. Wow, you know, what's going on?
I wish I made some of that money, though.
Yeah. But you had some of the doctors that Harrison Ford, that he's back on his feet after just a few weeks of, you know, whatever it was he did. It went from a broken ankle to, like, you know, a broken whatever, femur, body, I don't know, whatever it was. It was crazy. But anyway, he's back. You're back. We're back. It's all good. Hey, we got a fun show, Chris, today. We're going to be talking about some of the things that we want to see in the upcoming episode 7. You know, J.J. Abrams, they're working on it right now. So pretty soon we're probably going to get some more details. So before that happens, before we get spoiled with any more details, we wanted to give you guys some of the things that we want to see. And let's see if it matches up with what you guys had to, what you guys would like to see, you know. So we're going to talk about that. But before we do that, we got to get into some of the happenings in the Star Wars universe, Chris. Tons of stuff have been going on the last month or so. We had San Diego Comic-Con. We got a bunch of Rebels news. We got some figures. Man, a lot of stuff to cover. So what do you want to start, Chris? What should we start with?
Let's start with Celebration 7.
Okay, Celebration 7. Yeah.
We got a little bit of news a couple days ago. Dave Filoni will be there, so that's exciting. And I hope with him being there and it being announced now or confirmed now that he'll have quite a bit planned, that maybe he'll be in on several panels and you know, stuff like that, that it won't be real quick like the last one he ended up not attending. Or if he did, I can't remember if he attended. Yeah, he did, because I saw it, but he didn't get to stay the whole show. He was just like there for one day, or even like San Diego, he had to cancel the Comic-Con.
Right. Yeah. No, this is one of those things where you know he was going to be there. And this is just the first of tons of, you know, writers and, you know, I'm not saying JJ's going to be there, but yeah, it wouldn't be surprised if maybe some of these actors don't show up, especially some of the new ones. This new cast, I wouldn't be surprised if maybe they made an appearance, because this thing, this episode 7, let me tell you, the attention that this is going to garner around this time of 2015, you know, Celebration is going to happen just a few months before San Diego Comic-Con. So there's going to be starting that fever pitch of Star Wars right from Celebration all the way through till December. I mean, I'm sure San Diego Comic-Con, there's going to be quite a few things, but hopefully next year at Celebration, we're going to get a lot of cool stuff like trailers and behind the scenes stuff. But I wouldn't be surprised to see some of these actors show up there. So this is just the first, like Filoni being there, of probably tons of great talent and behind the scenes people that we're going to see up there. So
as long as their schedule will permit, I think they will. I mean, it's a given that some of them are going to be at Comic-Con. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
But
you know, I can see, like, I don't know. It's weird. Like, Harrison Ford's shown up at Comic-Con, but would he do a celebration? I don't know. I don't know if that's, you know, not cool enough for him or something. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I don't know. But I could see some of these younger cats, like, you know, Boyega and maybe Daisy and of course, Mark Hamill. I'm sure he would do it. But
yeah.
But yeah, it's good to
that
see
would that. Be something else if we had Harrison Ford there. Even if he just came in for like Saturday or something, that'd be even
just of course. Awesome. Yeah, he'd do one little panel and then they'd whisk him off in his private helicopter or whatever. But that'd be cool. But like I said, you know, we're going to have this fever pitch going from April all the way through because, I don't know, this is that movie that it's episode 7. It's new. It's
just
JJ. Think
about how crazy
it's all the stuff
be.
Rolled into one, man. It's going to be crazy fever pitch time. So. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
And we'll get more into that later on in the show also. So,
yeah, definitely. What else is going on? What else happened? Tons of news, though.
Yeah, one thing I was kind of quite excited about when I first heard is Marvel Comics is obviously is going to be coming back. They announced that in 2015 that the Star Wars brand will be moving from Dark Horse back to Marvel. And, you know, we heard this several months ago, but just within the last month, probably was just at Comic-Con, I believe, they announced 3 series, 2 ongoing series, and 1 miniseries so far to start with. The miniseries is going to be, I think, like a 8-issue, 4 or 8-issue, something like that. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be called Star Wars Princess Leia. And that, to me, is real exciting because it's supposed to pick up right after the destruction of the Death Star. So we get to see a lot of, and one of the things that was mentioned specifically was seeing how she deals with all the death and everything associated with her planet, having to come back, be a princess, be in charge of the Alliance, and all this. That's just going to be something just I can't wait to read to see what we're going to find out and in this particular story. And then we've got 2 other that are ongoing series. We have one that's just called Star Wars, just like the one that's out now. But if I'm not mistaken, this is going to pick up right after the destruction of the Death Star as well. So it'll be just like the same time period as this, the ongoing one that's going on now at Dark Horse. But, I mean, it'll be a different take, I guess. It'll be a little bit different. It'll get to see, you know, because right after the destruction of the Death Star, I mean, I'm sure these characters aren't together the whole time. They go off doing their own things. Han has to go off and do his stuff. Luke, same thing, has to go on missions and whatnot. So it'll be interesting to see. And then the other one that I think you'll really like is Star Wars Darth Vader series.
Yes.
And, I mean, that one I'm excited as well to get to see. And I love the way this person put it was it picks up right after, obviously, the destruction of the Death Star again. Mm-hmm. But we get to see Darth Vader go from this Sith Lord that kind of set second fiddle to Tarkin on the Death Star to being this guy that chokes everybody in sight in Empire Strikes Back. So we get to bridge that gap between those two characters and see how Vader gets to this frustration that we see him so much have in Empire Strikes Back. So, I mean, that's 3 stories right there that I just can't wait to get my hands on.
Yeah, when I heard that they were doing what Marvel was going to get, I was like, I remember tweeting out, like, this was a while ago, like, all these fantastic writers that and artists that Marvel has to choose from. Not that Dark Horse didn't have, I mean, I love what Brian Wood's doing who drew, the lady who's drawn the other series that went away after 50, Legacy, Jan Dersima. You know, not to take any away from them, but man, there's some crazy good artists and crazy good writers. I mean, look who's writing this Leia series, Mark Waid. I mean, I love this dude. He's doing a Daredevil series. I think they might have replaced him, but he did this new Daredevil series that was really good. You got this Vader series. LaRocca has drawn this thing. I remember him from Iron Man, and he's done a few other things, X-Men, I think, but he was great in Iron Man. And then one of my favorites, Chris, is this guy, Jason Aaron, who's doing the, what's the one he was doing? This is the Star Wars one, right?
Yes, he's doing Star Wars.
Yeah, yeah. And he even tweeted out just a day or two ago how he was just so happy to be writing in this universe. And this dude is really good. He does a lot of mature stuff. Mm-hmm. Jason Aaron, he's done a mature Wolverine. And he's done The Punisher. He had a great run on The Punisher. And he's doing Thor right now. So, and he's really good, mature. Like I said, mature. I don't know if he's going to do mature stuff for Star Wars. Probably not. But I just love I love what they're doing, man. Look at these people they get to choose from. It's crazy awesome. So I'm really excited about, like you said, that Darth Vader one, and then even that Star Wars one, man. I can't wait for that. So that is going to be some good reading coming up. Dude, what was the what were they looking at doing this by 2015? Right?
Yeah, 2015. Yeah. I think. They all start in, I think Star Wars starts in January, and I think the other two start in February.
Okay.
As soon as the year hits, we'll be getting them, which is awesome.
Okay. Good. Yeah. That's good. So comics are in good hands. Star Wars comics will be coming, and they are in good hands over at Marvel. So Marvel's still kicking butt lately on what they're doing. Man, Chris, it's been what's up with all this episode 7, like crazy stuff going on? I mean, they're talking like, I saw this post about this wrestler Sheamus being Darth Vader, and then they're talking about they're filming on the Skellig Michael Island or whatever. So, and they've seen, like, I guess Mark Hamill maybe making an appearance out there. So, God, what else has been going on? All these crazy rumors. What else?
That's so much that I don't even.
Yeah, it's been a whirlwind of just stuff. Peter Mayhew talked about how he thought this was going to be the best Star Wars of all of them, so that's high praise. But this is a guy who's
been in them.
He's not gonna bash his own. You know, you don't see too many guys bash their own projects. But he's definitely says this thing is awesome. So
I guess it's a good thing we don't have Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, really. Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, talk about some of the rumors that lately are coming around about actors appearing. But
I heard.
So what
some,
else? Would you hear something else?
I had sent this to my cousin. I had found this. It was plot details.
Oh, yeah. The hand, right?
Yeah. I started reading on it, and I was like, okay, the hand's ridiculous.
Yeah,
but when it said that Luke and Han meet for the first time in 30 years, I'm like, you're out of your mind. I literally got pissed. I'm like, there's no way that's going to work.
Yeah.
That's it for number one. If that's actually what happens, Han and Chewie meet, run into Luke for the first time in 30 years, then that means Han and Leia didn't get together. Mm-hmm. So what do they do? Just take the whole what happened in Jedi and just throw it out the window? No. Come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
My cousin's like, oh, man, this is awesome. It sounds great. I'm like, we were arguing.
Were you?
I was like, dude, stop it.
Yeah. Yeah, it was one of those things that hit, and it's like it went pretty quick around the internet. And I'm trying to stay away from spoilers, right? But
yeah.
I had to read it. I got like, what the heck is this? And it's like, okay, it's a little... I just can't see a pan down, like the opening shot. Instead of seeing a ship or a planet, we see a hand floating in space. It just doesn't.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't even seem like J.J. Abrams to me. You know.
Yeah, and then it says it goes and lands down on the planet. How is that possible? How is it going to pass through reentry without burning up?
Yeah, right.
So, you know, hey.
Well, another thing, too, speaking of Skywalker and all that, did you see the Force for Change video that Abrams did with a X-Wing?
Yes, I did.
Wow, that was cool, huh? So, I mean, that was just like, it felt to me like that thing was straight off Macquarie painting, that X-Wing.
Yes, it did.
God, that was cool.
It looks like, to me, it looks like an early concept model, which is, that's what his painting is, but yet this is 30 years later. It's a more sleek,
right.
Which it actually seems to fit, because, you know, the X-Wing gets sleeker and more rounded, and the engines aren't as big. So,
right. Yeah,
that's really kind of cool.
And it was blue.
Yep.
And I've heard, I don't know if I read it or I heard it on another podcast where they talked about how it's blue because I guess back in Star Wars, I think George wanted to use blue.
Yeah, in the original
as far as the striping, and they couldn't do it because it didn't come out in the film or something like that. Did you hear that?
Yeah, well, you know, the original was Blue Squadron, and then they changed it to Red Squadron in the movie because the blue wouldn't show up on the blue screen.
Mm-hmm.
But now they use green, so.
Yeah, right.
Return of the Blue Squadron.
Yeah. Another thing that hit, too, that was kind of interesting was Jonathan, God, he writes all the behind-the-scenes books. It'll come to me in a second. But somebody asked him about Boba Fett, right? Like, hey, what's up with Boba Fett? And he said something that George told him that, yes, Boba Fett does get out of the Sarlacc pit, according to Lucas.
Yep, I saw that,
so,
too.
So, I mean, he's, you know, it's like, hey, it's finally like...
It's canon.
Is this canon? I mean, what are... Does he have to check with Marvel first before he says that? What's going on here? I think if he says that, it's golden. Yeah. So that kind of begs the question, like, you know, are we going to see, you know, we've talked about these spinoffs and they talked about a Boba Fett spinoff. So I guess that could lead a little credence to maybe we can see a story after Return of the Jedi for Boba Fett. So that'd be kind of cool. You know, that's what I want.
Like you say, couldn't you see, it'd be awesome to see the hand coming out.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that's what a way to start a movie. It's just you see a hand coming out and he gets out and then there you go. What a great way to start off. And I mean, I'd be cool with a Boba Fett movie no matter what. But if you gave me the choice, like, hey, do you want to see him back when he was this or do you want to see him after Return of the Jedi? Like, oh yeah, no question. That's what I want to see. So,
a lot of
cool kind of.
Cause we don't know anything about what's going on. So yeah, that'd be awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So.
How about the news?
What else?
Flow into our next one is the new Star Wars timeline.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Now,
wow.
It's not official that I know of. I haven't seen anything on it other than Leland Chi tweeted it the other day. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, okay. And here's the new timeline. All right, everybody that some people might not understand this, but. In the old Star Wars timeline, or I'm going to say old, the zero year was the Battle of Yavin. So the end of Star Wars was year zero.
Right.
And then everything after that, Empire, Jedi, everything was whatever year, ABY, after Battle of Yavin. And then everything before was BBY, before Battle of Yavin. But apparently, in this, they're moving the zero year to Episode 1. Which would, instead of making Empire Strikes Back being 3 ABY, it's now 35 years after Episode 1. Now, I don't know what the lettering system would be necessarily, unless it's just, you know, TPM for the Phantom Menace.
Mm-hmm.
TPM, right. You know, 35 ATPM or something that, the one thing, though, that it stuck out to me when I saw this was, this is something we've heard before, but it's obviously down on the timeline, is Rebels is set 14 years after Star Wars. And 14 years after Revenge of the Sith, and 5 years before Star Wars. So that means Luke and Leia are 14. Now, we brought this up before, because it's been mentioned. But that just hit me, and I just keep thinking about that. I'm just thinking, man, Luke and Leia would be 14. So that means Han would be in his 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Chewie, you know, still be about 200. But, you know, I mean, you got Wedge, we could see Biggs, we could see Cammy, Wendy, all of them. We could, you know, all these different characters around that era that we can see that could come into this. We already know Obi-Wan's going to be in it. And who's to say we won't get Yoda somewhere? But I think if anything, we'll see something from Leia. At the very minimum, we'll see something from Leia because she's a part of the royal family.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. When you first heard this about the timeline, does it make any sense to you? What would be the freaking point of moving it to the Phantom Menace? Because
that was total blew me away. Because like you said, what are you trying to do? I don't know.
Yeah,
I don't understand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't understand the reasoning behind it.
Because it doesn't make anything simpler. In fact, it screws everything up in terms of years for people that know the timeline, have studied the timeline. It just throws off all of the numbers before. I mean, it throws everything off by 32 years is what it does.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's before Star Wars, then you have to subtract 32 years from it, and then you have to add that to, you know, whatever. It just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So, obviously, Leland Chi tweeted it, so it must have some significance. We just
the keeper of the Holocron.
Yeah,
so.
We haven't gotten any confirmation yet. I texted him, and as far as I could tell, I still haven't gotten a reply. I've looked, but I could have missed it. So I don't know.
Did he mention something about its canon or set in stone, or was it more of a?
He tweeted. He put up two tweets. One tweet, the first tweet had the year numbers, and the second tweet had the abbreviations for the movies. So that when
I did see that.
Both together, they lined up as the new timeline. So I'm just like, and I thought about it. What? And somebody made a good point. He said, "What? The reason it was the Battle of Yavin because it was a pivotal point in the rebellion, which is great. But then if you go to the episode one, then what is it? A trade federation? You know, the trade army starting its move in on Naboo? I mean, what significance does that have?" And somebody else had mentioned it being maybe it's the start of when Palpatine starts to become in power. Well, that doesn't really make any sense either because he did at the end. He was named Chancellor at the end of the film, so maybe that was it. I don't know.
Yeah. No, but it just made sense that, episode four was the year zero because they blew up the Death Star. It's obviously a bigger event and
exactly.
Kind of like a galaxy altering kind of event type of thing. So, I did see those tweets from Chi, and he did. And another tweet he had was it just said, 1, 2, Clone Wars, 3, Rebels, 4, 5, 6, which was kind of obvious. I don't know why everybody kind of knew that. So I saw a tweet like that. I was like, okay, yeah, I didn't have any question about how that timeline went. But, he's got some cryptic, some of the tweets are kind of cryptic. Like, what is he trying to say here? Yeah. Like, there's a bunch of numbers he did on ones. What is
going like
on?
You need a decoder or something.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just gauging to see the response.
Right.
Well, if that's the case,
responses, that's for sure.
Don't change it. There's no need to change it.
Yeah. So that's what's going on. Yeah, definitely the timeline is a big one. See how it turns out and if it becomes canon. I guess it's not until Lucasfilm puts something about it on Star Wars. So we'll see.
Exactly.
What else you got?
Black Series.
Oh, yes.
We've got
San Diego Comic-Con. Big
reveals. We've got, what is it, Wave 4 now that's out, that is hitting now. You got Boba Fett again and the Stormtrooper again, and then you got Anakin Skywalker and Clone Trooper from Episode 2, I believe. Those are the four that are out right now. And also have already hit stores because I found them at Target today. The Deluxe Jabba the Hutt and the Deluxe Scout Trooper and Speeder Bike. And, of course, I haven't picked any of them up yet. But the Jabba, like we were talking about before, looks a little weird sitting in the box all by himself. It's like got this big old box and nothing in it but him. Yeah. But it looks good. It looks really cool. Both of his arms are fully articulated at the elbows and the wrist. The head looks like it probably moves. I'm sure the tail is articulated to a certain extent. But the speeder bike it looked amazing. I can't wait to get that bad boy out.
Yeah. Well, we got the 3¾-inch speeder bike that came out a year or so ago. And that thing was pretty sweet. And then now I get to get it in a 6-inch, man, it's going to be nice.
Really cool.
Yeah.
Really cool. And we're starting to get more of the 3¾-inch, getting good figures. Got the Dagobah Luke that's out now. Got the Yoda, which I'd like to pick up both of those. And got a Snow Trooper and a Bella Shan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's two others. Dak Rattler is one of them. And crap. Oh, that... the other one that I want to get, and I can't think of her name now, the lady, Torin Farr, that's her name.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
She, Fire, that one.
Yeah.
Gotta have her for your dioramas.
Yeah.
But then, of course, now that we're, with San Diego Comic-Con, we get all these really exciting new 6-inch coming up. We already knew we were going to have Chewbacca and the Luke and Jedi outfit and Darth Vader and then another Sand Trooper. But to sit there and see the Deluxe Luke Skywalker and Hoth with the Wampa 2-pack and to see the Tauntaun with the Han and Hoth two-pack. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Just like a kid when I saw those. I was oh, my gosh. I am so excited about to seeing those. I mean, they've done a, they're doing a great job at putting out figures that we want. I hope they don't get go crazy with this. We keep reissuing. Now, obviously, the Clone Trooper, we're going to get all of them, all the various colors and stuff. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a mold. They throw paint on there, and they can make more money. We understand that. Mm-hmm. That's. I would rather have that than something else, because at least you could, you can either not pick up the colors, or if you're like me and you, we'll want to have all the colors. Mm-hmm. And like the Sand Trooper, they've got, here's the second one. The first one was orange pauldron, and this one's a black, so I'm sure they'll throw a white in somewhere down the line, but spread it out.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Hopefully we don't get another Clone Trooper right away. I mean, we haven't seen any other of the 6-inch single figures past the Chewbacca Wave, Darth Vader. We just saw the deluxe. Actually, I'll take that back. We did. Let me find it here.
Was there a Bosk that they showed? And
yes, the Bosk TIE Fighter pilot.
Yeah. Han and Stormtrooper gear.
Yes, yes. And see, that's another thing right there. I mean, obviously, we're getting the Stormtrooper again in this wave, which is fantastic. But all they had to do is swap the head, and then obviously we'll have a Luke coming up soon. So, I mean, that's another figure right there that we get another figure, and it saves them money on it gives them more profit margin, which is what they need in order to keep putting out these figures.
Right.
I mean, they keep telling us this, but come on, we know it's not that difficult.
Yeah.
But
that Wampa is a good one too, because it had the arm comes off. He's got a lot of blood on his like his chin or whatever you want to call it, his beard.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, that Tauntaun and Han. I mean, that's the one. Like you said, going back to like a kid, I remember playing with that. You know, sticking Han in the back opened up, and you'd stick the figure inside. But apparently, this one's going to be the 6-inch. Just so. They have so many points of articulation that they said he's going to be able to sit on top the correct way. So I'm looking forward to that. And, you know, I've always wanted that Han and Tauntaun. I think Gentle Giant does it or Sideshow. But they're so hard to find. And it's like, bam, here we go. I'll get a 6-inch. Yeah. Of course, you know, not maybe as detailed as you're going to get from Gentle Giant. But still, just from the pictures, it looks really, really good. So,
oh yeah.
And like you said, the speeder bike, awesome too. Loving it.
Yeah, the pictures that they show really looked great, and I wish I could remember the other ones. I know they had Bosk and a TIE Fighter pilot, and let me see.
There was, you talking about 6-inch or?
Yeah, the 6-inch. Because they showed more than just Bosk and TIE Fighter pilot, didn't they?
Let's see.
Here we go, I got some. Target's going to have the exclusive, the Shadow Squadron, where you get the Shadow Stormtrooper and a Shadow Scout Trooper on a Shadow speeder bike.
Right.
Oh,
yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
Then, of course, I just saw it.
And then you sent me the information about, what was it, Walgreens having the Boba Fett?
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Walgreens is having the exclusive white armor Boba Fett.
Right.
And I pre-ordered that through Walgreens. You go on there now, you can't even pre-order it. It's closed down. Apparently they sold out of the first allotment or whatever.
Super
I don't
fast,
know.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I saw it. I just jumped over there and.
Yeah.
It's not going to be in stores. Apparently it's just going to be online. So.
Right. And the Jabba, the Jabba looks fantastic too. I know a couple people that saw it and said it looks really good. And of course, like we just talked about, the speeder bike. They saw it at San Diego and said, wow.
I hope. Yeah, it looks amazing because, like I said, I saw it today. I hope that lost my train of thought.
As far as the 6-inch?
Yeah.
Or the speeder bike or the
Jabba? Say, I hope that the Jabba, I would like to see them come out with an accessory pack for him so that you can get, like, the Hooch Bar or the Hooch Bowl, whatever, and stuff, even though it comes with the Deluxe.
Yeah.
I mean, I hope that they can do something with that down the line. So that you can add to it, or have the throne, at least have the throne or something.
Yeah, that's what kind of was a little like, I was like, oh man, how can you not have the dais? You know, it's like, that's just goes with Jabba. You know, it's that and the dais and Salacious Crumb. It's like, that should just be all in a pack, you know. It shouldn't be a question, not just Java. But that's all right. Maybe, like you said, maybe down the line we'll get some kind of an update or accessory or something to go with that. Because I think, was it you that told me that maybe the box you can use as a throne, but that's not the same, you know. It's not the same as having a real plastic.
The exclusive one, the box looks like, and it's got a few of the pieces that come with it. But the new one, it's just him sitting in the box.
So good stuff from 6-inch coming.
Yep. Yeah.
Still excited about that. I love what they're doing with that. Yeah. Any other collecting stuff that you want to mention?
No, I think that's it. The Black Series, I mean, we're both real excited about those.
Yeah,
And what's coming up. And I hope they just, with these, they have to be able to spread them out. They can't just, I mean, we just got this one series now. Oh, and the next series with the Luke and everything is supposed to be in August, which is this month. So hopefully it won't be too close together.
And everything they displayed or talk about at San Diego is going to be just for the rest of this year. So, like you said, I don't think they're going to bombard us with too much, because that can be a concern, because those of us who kind of collect and have to watch, you know, how much we spend, it's nice that they're just not going to bombard us with they did with a couple years ago with the vintage stuff.
And it's kind of unusual with, I'm assuming, I don't know if they'll change the case pack, but the case of the Deluxe comes with two speeder bikes and one Jabba. Now, the Jabba box is bigger than the speeder bike box.
Mm-hmm.
It's thicker. It's probably maybe 1.5 the width of a speeder bike. Mm-hmm. So I doubt they'll change it to where you'll get like two Jabbas and a speeder bike or something. Mm-hmm. But actually, you know, it makes perfect sense. You send out twice as many of the speeder bikes and scout troopers, because people will army build those.
Right.
And leave it just like that. So Jabba, you know, there'll be plenty of Jabbas hopefully to go around, and an abundance of scout troopers.
Yeah. So, man, really looking forward to all that stuff in the Black Series. I've been on board since day one, and it hasn't really let me down since it came out. So, let's see, what else we got? You going to go to Rebels now?
Could do Rebels next, or we could do the things that make you go,
Let's do, let's talk about Rebels.
Okay.
You know, that was the big thing as far as San Diego for Star Wars this year. And it really took over, and a lot of people were impressed. And here's a quick take of what Dave Filoni has to say about what's going on and just who are the Rebels.
Hi, I'm Dave Filoni. I'm executive producing Star Wars Rebels along with Simon Kinberg and Greg Weiss. So what is a rebel? Now, that was something that I wasn't really sure about when I was a kid. I knew that Luke Skywalker joined up with a band of rebels and eventually became part of the Rebel Alliance. But where did that Rebel Alliance come from?
Man your ships, and may the Force be with you.
If you're wondering, is Star Wars Rebels, are they the ones that started the rebellion against the Empire? No, but they're an important part of the overall movement. So when it came time to do a new animated series, the creative story group here at Lucasfilm, we thought, well, we want to tell the story of these rebels more specifically. We have Ezra, Kanan, Hera, Sabine, Zeb, and Chopper, this ragtag group of characters.
We're not going back to Capital City. Job's not done.
Which reminded me a lot of when I was a kid watching Star Wars, because I always had Han, Luke, and Leia.
That's one.
Count me in.
I'm with you too.
So we wanted that feeling. We wanted to get a feeling of a group of people that had banded together to fight against a terrible evil, which is the Empire. It's an exciting time. It's between Revenge of the Sith and A New Hope. And it's a largely undocumented time period of Star Wars history as far as what's really going on in the details of the galaxy. The thing that's unifying about our group of heroes is that each of them has something that the Empire has done to them that, in all honesty, is pretty terrible. And it's affected them so much that they want to fight back.
What do you think you're doing?
One of the things I thought that people all loved about the Star Wars films so much, especially the original trilogy, was they made you laugh.
I don't know where you get your delusions, laser brain.
They had fun on this adventure, even though they're being chased through an asteroid field and barely staying alive. You know, it was, it's that exhilarating experience that I think an audience wants so badly. And we've tried to recreate that in Star Wars Rebels. These rebels are all stuck on the ghost together, going on adventures throughout the stars. And yeah, I think you could really feel the fun they're having, and you can feel how much they already care about each other.
I really didn't think you'd come back.
I'll get you home now.
Rebels is really the beginning. It is your first step into a larger world that is to come.
You call that shooting?
So I hope you've enjoyed this look at Star Wars Rebels. And remember, the Force will be with you.
All right, Chris. So there's a little taste of what Filoni's talking about there. You know, like I said, San Diego, huge news. Trailers, we got a 7-minute preview of Rebels. I have a friend who, actually writes for another podcast I do, the Rebels podcast. He actually went to the screening, saw it, and gave us a report on it. And you can hear his feelings on that on the Rebels podcast. But he said, Chris, that it was more than he thought it was going to be. Like, it was better than he thought it was going to be. And it wasn't even finished. Like, there was still, you know, apparently they're still working on, you know, just tweaking the animation and stuff like that. So, but he said it was great. It had just like Filoni's talking about here. He said it was funny. It was fun. It had good characters and the chemistry was all there. So just from that report, seeing that first episode, he was really excited. And we've seen it, Chris. I mean, I know you've seen it. I've seen it a few times, that 7-minute mm-hmm. preview. And it does. It just, and that's sounds like, it looks like that's just the beginning of the first episode. So we've got to, and we've learned like some of the cast members that are in this thing. I mean, Jason Isaacs, this is him and Michael Oliwoyo are kind of the upper tier. I mean, these are not voice actors. I mean, these are pretty well-known actors who've done, you know, Harry Potter and Planet of the Apes and some other stuff. And so the cast is looking really good and really excited about it. The animation is really cool, different take. It has all the things that like us classic fans, we love to see. You know, it's got the humor, yep. It's got the music, Chris. It's got some of that music, the old school music. Even Tim told me when he saw it, he goes, you know how we used to wish that Clone Wars would infuse more of the classic themes of music? He said, you're not going to have to worry about that in Rebels. They use a lot of the classic music. So that's exciting to hear. So
now he's talking about he saw a full episode, not just the 7 minutes.
He actually saw a full hour, so he saw the first two episodes.
Okay, so he probably saw the first, that hour premiere thing.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Okay, gotcha.
Premiere. Yeah.
Well,
what do you think? I mean, I know you've been, you've seen a lot of stuff, and so what's your take on this?
Well, I tell you, here since celebration, since San Diego, we got that, the 2.5-minute trailer, which blew me away. The music in it. Yeah. The Imperial March that they put throughout there, everything that they showed. And I really, you know, we'd seen the spaceship, the Ghost, already. We've seen it. We knew what it was. We knew it was their ship. But after seeing it being chased by TIE fighters in battle, I'm like, okay, this is their Millennium Falcon. That's just, when I sit and watch the trailer, I was like, oh, wow, that can kind of make you think of the Millennium Falcon. It kind of similar in some way, but then it's so distinctive. I'm just like, they did a perfect job on designing that vehicle to be the Millennium Falcon of this series and have something completely new. And then sitting and watching that 7-minute first look, which came on TV, which I recorded, so I've sat and watched it a couple of times. The thing that really jumped out at me was when Ezra and Kanan first felt themselves through the Force. You had that little piece of the music of Obi-Wan and Luke on Tatooine, that little soft Obi-Wan music that's like, okay, you just like, yes, he's, you know, it. Ezra's sitting here feeling the Force, and I was just like, okay, that is so cool. And the stormtroopers, I loved it. I want to see tons and tons of stormtroopers, and just that 7 minutes gave us a ton. I thought the troopers that were on the speeder bikes looked so much like the Macquarie concept of the snowtroopers in their mask. I just loved it. I was so excited and seeing these characters. It's like, okay, they're a group. How do they get Ezra? You know, Ezra seems to be kind of a cool kid. He kind of seems like a... He seems more like a Luke character, I think, is what he's kind of supposed to be like. It's like the Luke character, but he's more streetwise than Luke was. You know, Luke was like,
yeah, you know,
Luke, I'm ready for anything. And then he gets his, you know, gets in a fight 2 minutes into the cantina and has to have Obi-Wan bail him out. But I'm so excited. That got me so excited. And the animation, I thought, looks, it's just, to me, it's picked up right behind the Clone Wars, and boom, we won't have all this quirky animation that we had at the beginning of the Clone Wars where they were still getting better and getting better. This one's just full-fledged right out. And, you know, one thing that, I mean, this is something little, but it's something that I thought was a really nice touch. When Kanan backed up in the scene and ran over a stormtrooper and then took off,
yeah,
and then they come back and you see the trooper getting up, I was like, okay, that to me was so cool that they didn't kill him by running him over, because who's to say? I mean, the armor's got to protect him. So, yeah, I just thought that was a cool touch. And the stormtrooper still can't shoot. That's awesome.
That's what he said. That's what Tim was saying. He's like, man, these stormtroopers are just like they were in the OT, man. They can't hit the broad side of a barn.
It's got to be the helmets, man.
But, yeah, you talked about Ezra, and I think that's what you kind of got from some of the trailers in this preview, is that it looks like we might be taking a trip through Ezra maybe becoming a Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, now that Lucasfilm is on this story group thing where everything goes through one entity, maybe, you know, we might see something from the Rebels transferred to the new sequel trilogy. So what that might be, I don't know. Ezra, mm-hmm. maybe? You know, you never know. Not necessarily in episode 7, but maybe in 8 or 9, you know, yeah. After the Rebels have gone a few years and they've kind of done all that, maybe we'll see something later on with him. So there's definitely that possibility now that they have that one cohesive story group that's in charge of everything. So,
and I like what Dave Filoni said too. He said, this isn't the group that started the Rebel Alliance,
mm-hmm.
but they have a stake in it. So it's going to be really cool to see how that ties in. Because, see, that's what I was wondering about. I mean, we know that Mon Mothma started the rebellion. She was mm-hmm. one of the people that were there in Bail Organa. So it's like, where do these characters connect to the royal family? Or, you know, do they connect in any way other than they're just tired of being, you know, they're tired of the Empire? And I thought that 7 minutes showed exactly what the Empire does with the way they treat people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you didn't answer me, so I'm going to brand you a traitor. Oh,
right.
Okay. Jesus, you know, come on. But that's going to be interesting. I think this particular series is going to have so much for so many different people.
Yeah, I know. Young fans, us older fans are going to love seeing some of that classic stuff and the music and some of the ships and all that. So it's really shaping up to be, I think so. And it's going to be 16 episodes, I believe. And then we got the 1 hour premiere on October.
That's not enough.
I tell you, 16.
Yeah. I mean, well, just seeing, you know, we already know that the first hour, that's just not going to be enough. We're going to want more. It's going to be painful to have to wait each week for a new episode to get more and more into the story. And of course, a couple things that I wanted to point out from the 2.5 minute trailer that we saw that just really got me excited. And this is crazy. I didn't even catch this the first time. It was the second time. I don't know how I missed it. I was too busy watching the background, I guess. But the fact that Luminara
Unduli is
in there, I don't know how. My brain just didn't catch them saying that name. And I saw that and I was like, awesome. So this is going to tie with Jedi somewhere. We know that because it shows that Obi-Wan, him saying that the Republic and the Jedi Order is down or done or however it was he worded it. The other thing that jumped out at me was, did you see the McQuarrie concept of C-3PO in there as another droid?
Right. Yep.
Mm-hmm. I saw that. I was like, yes, yes.
Yep.
Got the head there, but the body's a little different, which is great. I love the fact that I'm curious to see who has R2-D2 and 3PO at this point. I mean, we know that, Antilles, Captain Antilles is the one that has them after episode 3. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious. This is going to be awesome. I mean,
You brought up the Quincori, and they talked about when this thing first broke news about Rebels, that how it was going to be a lot of McCoy inspired stuff. So,
but I was so excited to see 3PO, the concept of 3PO head in there. I mean, we'd seen it in the Troopers and stuff. So, I think too that the people that love the Empire that are so, you know, Sith and all this kind of, I think they're really going to enjoy this because you get to see the Empire in control. Mm-hmm. And it's just, to me, this is just going to be like a series like Empire Strikes Back, where they're just trying to get away.
Right.
Through the whole movie.
It's got that, like they talked about and Dave talked about on this clip is, you know, it's going to be fun and you're going to laugh and it's going to have some funny lines and we saw some of them right in that clip too. I mean, that Zeb character had a couple of funny lines and
I love it. Right at the end of it, Ezra says, well, you did, they said you did it, kid. And he said, well, did you have any doubts? Both of them, yes.
Yeah.
So, you know,
I
think that both of the characters are going to look like they're going to be very strong characters.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, not the Twi'lek
Sabine?
Girl. Yeah, Sabine.
Yeah.
She looks like she's going to be really strong, and which is great. I'm glad to see a strong woman that's not a kid. I don't have anything against Ahsoka. I thought she was a fantastic character. But to have one as an adult, bam, right off the bat, I think it'll be great.
Oh, and how about Obi-Wan's in the series?
Oh.
Yeah?
Just see
Obi-Wan.
He looks cool.
Holocron or something.
Yep. Looks good. They aged him 14 years. Okay, well, since now that we've got the 7-minute clip, the 2.5-minute clip, is there anything that you haven't seen or that, what's the most exciting thing for you now? What's getting you excited about it?
You know what's getting me excited is, I like the Inquisitor. I'm interested to see where that character's arc is going. Like, because this is a strange thing. You got this character, the Inquisitor. That's, you know, is he somewhat, you know, Sith trained in some kind of Force powers, and where is this going with this guy? That's kind of one of the interesting things that I'm. And then of course you got all these characters that are come back, like Obi-Wan. I was really excited to see that. And Bail, and like you said, some of the characters from the PT, Luminara, you know, last time we saw her was episode 3, as far as timeline-wise. Episode 3, she was helping out the Wookiees, and we really don't know what happened. They didn't show what happened to her. So this is a thing, too, with that, is, you know, we heard about the Jedi Purge and killing all the Jedi, but, you know, obviously they didn't. Here's a captured Jedi. Maybe the Emperor said, you know what? Let's not kill them all. Let's you know, hold on to a few and see if we can use them for whatever they need to use them for. So that's another interesting story element that we could see in this Rebels series. And we'll see if it goes there. I don't know. I'm just kind of spitballing.
And Kanan's also a Jedi, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Of some type. You know.
So.
Sorry. Go ahead.
No, just that, and like I said, just the music. I talked about the music and just the whole vibe of just that classic vibe that it's going to have is really kind of what's drawing me into it. I would be drawn to this. I mean, I'm doing a podcast. I'm co-hosting a podcast about the show, but even if I wasn't, I would still be excited of what I've seen so far. And I think it's going to be good. So go ahead. You were going to say?
I was going to say every single thing I keep seeing, it just gets me so excited. That 2.5-minute trailer got me so excited. Mm-hmm. I was like, oh my gosh, that was the coolest. I mean, let's face it, Comic-Con, they're great at getting movie trailers, this news and stuff like that, but that 2.5-minute trailer for the Rebels just got me so excited, because this is the time period that we have been wanting to know more about. The one thing that I did find kind of odd, and I'm curious to see what is all behind of it, when we see Obi-Wan in that trailer, you see a holocron being opened.
Right.
And Ezra is in the room. Is Ezra the one opening it, or is there someone else in the room with him?
Yeah.
What is all of that? So that just, you know, little tidbits that they keep showing, but this looks like this is going to be a lot of action. Mm-hmm. The shots of the Ghost and four TIE fighters coming behind it, going through clouds and through space. Oh, I'm just so excited.
Yeah, seeing, like I said, those classic vehicles and used in different ways. Like that one clip with Zeb was actually took one over and was using it. So,
and you know,
got,
we're going to have
all that. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, we're going to have some similar planets. You know, we're going to have some new planets.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen the TIE fighter. So what about the X-Wing? You know,
right.
Are we going to see an X-Wing? What kind of rebel vehicles are we going to see other than what we've got? Now, I don't think we'll see too much early. Mm-hmm. The first couple episodes will probably be setting everything up for that group, how they came about, and what their purpose. You know, I'm curious to see what's in those crates now, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously,
yeah, lots of questions from those.
You know,
clips.
I mean, is
yeah.
it supplies? Is it armory? What is it, you know? So. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
we'll see.
Definitely. Yeah, it's looking really good, and I'm really excited. And October is just a few months away,
yep.
And we're going to be
2 months, man.
Yeah, we'll be knee deep in it, so it's going to be fun.
Oh, and they did announce that October, I think it's 14th, the 1 hour DVD will be released.
Oh yeah, Rebels. That was today, huh?
Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, that's the 1 hour premiere, isn't it?
It's got to be, yeah. So it's kind of crazy that
yeah,
they're
doing
a DVD.
Yeah, so when is that going to be? You know, is that going to be at the end of September, which would be next month, or is it going to be real early in October?
I'm guessing October, because I would imagine they wouldn't bring it out before the episode airs. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, knowing them, they'll release it, they'll air it the 7th and then release it on the 14th or something, you know.
Right, yeah, just right afterward. Yeah,
yeah, they've done that stuff, so.
Yeah.
But that's kind of cool, though.
Yeah.
I'd be curious to see what kind of extra stuff we get on it.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, definitely.
Throw it out on DVD, and then you know next year they'll have the Blu-ray and everything for it. So,
right, right.
Us idiots will be buying it.
of course, come on.
Of course.
Yeah. So yeah, tons of good stuff. Looking forward to Rebels, and we'll probably do some type of a small featurette on the podcast for some of these Rebels episodes as they go along. So that'd be fun to do.
Yeah, that'd be great.
But yeah. So, it's that time, folks. It's time for me and Chris to make you go,
Things that make you go, Things that make you go, Things that make you go, Things that make you go, Robbie Bob, break it down.
All right, Chris. Now, you said you got this one this week, so.
Yes.
And I'm not sure what it is. You just said, hey, it's maybe not the same as I normally do, but that's okay, man. It's all good. Whatever you got. So hit us with what you got planned. What's
right.
up?
Well, this one's probably not your traditional what you kind of go along with, but this will be something that'll make you go, or blow your mind one. normally with me doing my Facebook pages and stuff, I'll search Google to find new pictures and search for just, you know, anything I can, Star Wars, to learn and read about. Well, I was searching newspaper ads to kind of pull up, you know, the original newspaper ads that were in the newspaper. You know, I know you kids nowadays probably don't even know what I'm talking about, but Matt knows exactly what I'm talking about. Well, I found this cool picture. It's a classic Star Wars picture, and it had words off to the side, so I, you know, saved the picture, and I didn't read it right away. Well, I posted it up on Facebook and still didn't read it. And then a little bit later, I got to looking at it. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. I started reading it, and I'm just like, okay. Everybody that's listening to the show, you know how the original Star Wars was. Long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, and then we got the scroll. But this is a apparent ad print. Now, I can't guarantee this is original. I'm just assuming that it is. But this is what it says. It is an epic adventure that is not only more than you. Let me read that again. It is an epic adventure that is not only more than you imagine. It is more than you can imagine. Then it says, the year is 3000 AD. A young man stands poised on the brink of an adventure that will hurtle him across an infinite universe at the speed of light to save a civilization, to rescue a princess, to fight a war to the death. Star Wars. Now, I've never seen this, and the fact that the original tagline, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. That is, to me, was just George Lucas's way of nipping a major question in the butt to start with. People, is this in the future? What is this? No, this is a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. Hey, you know, this has already happened. So now we're just watching this grand adventure as it's already happened. Mm-hmm. But if this is accurate, and we're looking at the year is 3000 AD, mm-hmm. so Star Wars comes out in 1977, and yet this takes place in 3000. So,
what I'll tell you, another what?
100, yeah.
100, 900 years away yeah. or so.
I read that and I was just like, what? I mean, I did such a double take on that when I saw the 3000 AD. And I posted it up on Twitter the other day and pointed that out, and people just like, huh? And people went nuts. I'm just like, if this is the original, what was George Lucas thinking? I mean, not just the 3000 AD, but the way the rest of it is worded is really kind of, it has the same feel of the original Star Wars, the little things that we've gotten with even the Star Wars comic series, the rough drafts. It has that feel to it. Mm-hmm. And to me, it was just like, it makes me wonder, what was George thinking at putting it at that time period, and what made him change it to go to a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
I'm like, okay, Matt, with you hearing that, what does it make you? Because we didn't discuss this, and as far as I know, Matt's never seen this. So
no. That's what I was going to ask you. Do you have a link to, like, even people that are listening, that if they wanted to look it up? Do you have a link or anything?
You can see it if you scroll down. If you go to on Twitter page at Classic Star Wars, you can scroll down and it'll be there because I just posted it up yesterday.
Okay.
And you can see it. And I have in there 3000. The year is 3000 AD with a question mark. Huh? You know, well, what is your thought? What's the first thought that goes in your head when you heard this?
You know, it's just, I guess it's just one of those things where.
It's George's clunky writing, huh?
Well, that and. Like, I remember, like, in the beginning, he was changing a lot of stuff from that first draft until they started filming. There was just so much that was changed, as far as characters and story ideas. And this is probably just another one of those things where he was, you know, it just jotted something down, like, oh, here we go. Let's set it in the future. And then he thought about it for a while and he'd go, you know what? Instead of doing the future, I could be more vague with a long time ago,
mm-hmm.
and be a little more vague, and it can apply to any generation that's ever going to see this.
Exactly.
It's just a vague thing. Like, it's weird. Like, now when you watch, like, movies that, you'll say, like, what was it? I want to say, like, Escape from Alcatraz, or not Alcatraz, Escape from New York or something. Like, it's like, the year was
1997, you know, or something. Yeah.
And it's like, holy crap, that was a long time ago. And it's like, nothing like that now.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
It kind of doesn't hold up as well as maybe what he's doing here.
You know, not that George was thinking, well, in 1,000 years, when they're watching this, it'll screw people up.
Yeah, they're going to be like, oh, this ain't.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely, because I remember as a kid when I saw that, I was like, long time ago, and got, what? I don't, but this is set in the space, you know, so I'm thinking future. But, I mean, yeah, it just kind of sets you in, I think, when you see that tagline that, oh, this is something that's already happened, and we're getting to see this great story that's already happened, I guess, you know.
Yeah. Wait a minute. Yeah. No, that's just, like I said, it's one of those things where a lot of stuff was redone and rewritten as he progressed through the story. So,
yeah, I mean, either way, I don't think it would make any difference, but. Now, I was just like, what?
See, and this is some of the stuff that you're going to see when you subscribe or follow the Classic Star Wars Facebook page, man. Always some just stuff that I've never even seen before. Even I'm like, wow, I never seen that. So that's cool. Good stuff, Chris. I like it. Keep it going, man. I have to keep you going on these things that make you go, huh? Way to fill in for me. Hey, one more thing, actually. Let's do one more thing before we hit the topic today. one of the listeners, Paul Gann. He wrote us in, and he had this question, and I think we might have retconned it for him, but I'll just read it to you real quick for those that are listening. He says, "Hey, guys, I was listening to another podcast, and they made mention about the bloody hand in the cantina in episode 4. This suddenly made me realize how much I overlooked something. I have heard a lot of people refer to Ponda Baba's hand being cut off in episode 4. In the past, it hasn't hit me, but this time it did. There is a problem with that statement. Ponda Baba did not draw his blaster. Ebizon did." He calls him Cornelius. "This begs the question, why would Obi-Wan cut off the hand of a person who has not threatened him and not to do so to the person who drew the blaster on him? The fact is he didn't. This is an error in the film that George hoped we wouldn't notice. What we actually have is Cornelius Ebizon's hand being cut off, but Ponda Baba's hand being seen on the floor. Anyone who doesn't believe me can freeze frame it like I did and see it clearly. Dr. Ebizon is even the one who falls down. Some people might not care about this, but I just thought it was interesting. And for those who are interested, this error was fixed in the revisited version of the film." He's talking about, I think, John B. Davdar's version. "Anyway, just wanted to thank you guys for the great job you do. And I'm looking forward to the next episode. Feel free to give me your opinion on this." Well, we will. And even talk about it on the show if you want. "Keep up the good work, and may the force be with you." So, Chris, we were just talking about this before we started, and we kind of retconned it a little bit, because when you watch the scene, and this is an important point that you brought up, is Obi-Wan does make 2 slashes with his lightsaber, right?
Right.
Correct. "Be careful.
You'll be dead.
This little one's not worth the effort. Come, let me get you something."
So, and then I've kind of watched it a few times after reading this, and both of them actually, I know one falls forward and one kind of falls backward. You kind of have to kind of read into the scene a little bit, to see what's going on. But like you said, I think the big thing is Obi-Wan does make 2 slashes. So in one of those slashes, he cuts off the arm that you see. So, and was there another thing you had mentioned too, Chris? I'm trying to think.
Well, when you read it to me before the show, this is something that my brain's already worked out, apparently.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's what we had discussed earlier is, well, all right, Ponda Baba's sitting right next to Luke, and Dr. Ebizan's on his left, but he comes around and starts harassing Luke.
Mm-hmm.
And so when he throws Luke out of the way, Ponda Baba's standing there, obviously. My brain just always processed it. Obi-Wan slashed twice. Once was Dr. Ebizan, because then he falls over, and then the second one was Ponda Baba. And then you see the gun next to Ponda Baba's hand, but it's not in his hand, if I'm remembering correctly.
Right.
Now, this might be something that I had to go back and look, because you just mentioned it before we started. So I was thinking, oh, well, if it's not in his hand, who's to say that's his gun? Who's to say he...
Mm-hmm.
I always say Walrus Man, because that's what we grew up with.
yeah.
I'm sure he probably was going to draw his weapon or get the hell out of the way, one or the other. So, needless to say, I don't see it as an error. I mean, Obi-Wan slashed twice. One was at Dr. Ebizan, the other one said Walrus Man. But yet, we only see Walrus Man's hand. And then you see a gun. I just always thought, I thought that too. You know, Dr. Ebizan pulled the gun. I'm like, well, you know, the gun, that's where the gun fell. And that's where Walrus Man's arm fell. You know, that's just what my brain always processed it as. Now, he's talking about it was fixed and revisited. I'll have to go back and look at that. I haven't seen it in a while to see how Obi-Wan fixed that, see how he did it. I'll have to look at it again. But that was my thought.
I know I've seen the Obi-Wan's version. It's one of those things where I kind of just blew by. I didn't even realize that needed to be fixed, but. He, like you said, he does drop the blaster as he's fallen. So, you know, it's certainly plausible that, like I said, the 2 slashes and he just drops it. So, I'm gonna have to go watch that and see watch those 2 scenes together, the regular version and Adiwan's version and see what he changed, because I'm trying to think about what he would change there. It's not really, it's just one of those, I guess, one of those things where, like, Paul's, I think his name's Paul, that you bring up, you know, it's like, there's little continuity things that maybe, hey, George likes to fix stuff, and maybe he just forgot to fix something like that.
Yeah, if someone come up to me at work, you know, like, you know, scooting as we're talking, somebody come up and brought that up to us, that's what I would have told them. I would have argued it back, saying, well, no, that's not an error. I mean, that could have been Ponda Baba's gun that was on the floor. He went to draw it, and then before he could get it out, his arm was gone. You know, you never know.
Right. Yeah. So that's cool. I mean, again, going to the Facebook page, Starlight Pit Podcast, and if you have questions like that, throw them on there, man. We'd love to talk about it. We'd love to get your guys' input on anything. And I just have to mention, too, that since I mentioned that, we had a couple more nice ratings on iTunes from CMO Montana and Darth Lars. If you guys are out there, thank you for taking a few minutes of your time and throwing some nice comments and a review up there. We appreciate that. So definitely keep the we love to hear from you guys. I know it's kind of a pain to kind of write, and in this world of Fast and Facebook and our phones and all that, it was just like, we don't have time. Even I don't sometimes. I want to write into a podcast, and I'm like, oh, I'll do it later, and you just kind of forget about it. But we do appreciate any feedback or questions. It's just fun to get your take, and this is what it's about. You know, this is a podcast by the fans and for the fans and with you guys. So definitely don't be afraid to write something in or call in. So, Chris, are you ready to tackle our topic?
Yes.
All right.
Yep. Let's jump in.
Hello there. You're listening to the Sarlacc Pit Podcast, an elegant podcast for a more civilized age. You can go about your business. Move along. Move along.
So, like I said earlier, Chris, we want to talk about, before it gets too late and before we get spoiled too much with Episode 7 news, we want to just go over some of the stuff that me and you want to see in Star Wars Episode 7 and beyond. And we, you know, it's funny, we were going to have an actual guest on the show, Alex Ryback, but he was unable to join us, had some family emergency, so we'll get him on the next show. But and maybe we'll get some of his take later on. But yeah, we wanted to get, and we'll see if these, if our kind of our wish list, so if you will, kind of matches what you guys think should be seen in Episode 3 or what you guys want to see. So, Chris, I know we got about 5 or 6 each of us. So,
nothing too in depth.
What's that?
I said nothing too in depth.
No. It's I got actually looks like wow, I got 7. So I'll give you I'll start off with just one of my wishes, and that is Force Ghosts. And I know this can be kind of a touchy subject because a lot of people have a problem with Anakin, the change that George did with Return of the Jedi. I kind of liked it. I'm kind of one of the few that kind of liked it. But that is something that I think is pretty important in this universe, and I'd love to see in the new sequel trilogy is a Yoda and Obi-Wan, and even, as crazy as might sound, an Anakin Force Ghost coming back to help Luke or whoever in this new trilogy. And I'm saying we might see him in Episode 7, but who knows, maybe 8 or 9. And I haven't heard anything to say that, you know, Hayden would come back to do any kind of work as a Force Ghost. But I would still like to see some Force Ghosts in the new sequel trilogy. And I think it's probably a pretty good bet we will. But you never know. This is JJ and it's a new thing, but we'll see. But that's kind of one of the things that I want to see. So that's one of my kind of, I guess, honorable mentions or whatever you want to call it, Chris, but that's one of mine.
Yeah, I actually have 7 myself, so.
Cool. Okay. What do you got? What's one of your wishes?
That was one of mine as well. I wrote down.
Is it? Oh, okay.
I want to see Force Ghosts from Yoda or Obi-Wan, or at least some holograms, whether it could be something in the effect of Luke. Like we had seen in one of the novels, Luke goes to a certain planet, goes to Dathomir to find holocrons that have all of the Jedi teachings recorded in it. Even if it's something to that effect of Luke picking up holocron that has teachings from Yoda and Obi-Wan or even Anakin, like you said, Even if it's not Force Ghost, I'd love to see both. But yeah, that's something I definitely want to see because it wasn't done in the prequels, obviously, because they didn't figure that out until episode 3. But the fact that it shows up throughout all three of the original trilogy, I think it's something that has to be in there somewhere.
Right. And we're going to see that in... We've already seen. Geez, we've seen it in Rebels. I mean, in the first episode, they're going to have a Obi-Wan. Well, like you said, maybe it's a holocron. But in either event, it's still the classic characters coming back to help the Jedi in whatever task they need help with. And I would even throw in Qui-Gon in there, but I think we found out that Qui-Gon just, at least at this point, wasn't able to master that. He's able to talk to you. And who knows, maybe even talking through, maybe Qui-Gon will appear in, not appear, but you'll hear him like he did in the prequel trilogy. But yeah, Force Ghost is a big one for, looks like both of us, Chris, we want to see that.
Yeah, so. I think Yoda's got to be there somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another one of mine, I guess I'll call it number 6. And again, another one of those, not necessarily controversial, but, you know, there's going to be fans on both sides that have a stance on this or a take on this, and that is Boba Fett. Now, like we talked about earlier, Chris, we found out that it was J.W. Rensler that I was thinking of, that he had posed the question to George, and George said, yeah, Boba makes it out of the Sarlacc pit. So we got the confirmation, and now it looks like we might get a standalone movie. It hasn't been confirmed yet, but that's one of the big, not spoilers, but rumors that's going around. So, and... like I talked about earlier, this story group, that everything goes into the story group. So even though he might get his own standalone movie, could we see him intersect his way into the sequel trilogy? I, for one, would love to see it. I mean, how does the coolest character in the galaxy have only a few lines of dialogue? You know, just because this guy is so freaking cool. He's got the greatest costume, you know, out, whatever you want to call it, battle gear, whatever. One of the coolest looking characters, badass. I mean, come on. He's almost as popular as any other character, Darth Vader, but, I don't know. I'd love to see him. You know, I love the classic characters and I would love to see some of that infused into episode 7. So I'm going to put Boba Fett in there. What do you guys think out there? I don't know. Let us know. Chris, what do you got for your number 6 or one of your honorable mentions?
I don't have the Boba Fett on mine, but I agree. I want to see. Obviously, you would think it has to tie in if we're doing the standalone films. The one that comes next after episode 7 would have to tie into this one somehow. But we don't know how they're going to do it. So, yeah, just seeing anything to do with Boba Fett in there would be really cool as long as it makes sense.
Well, you know, if they do it like the current Marvel movies, how they're doing it, like things tie in with the universe there.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. You could might see a character go from a spinoff to a movie or from the sequel trilogy to a spinoff. So you never know. We'll see. So go ahead, Kirsten. Well, what is 6, right?
All right. Another thing that we are getting, but I want to see practical effects. I don't necessarily just mean no CGI. Mm-hmm. CGI is fine. They do a great job with it. But what I mean is a lot of the things, like in that little piece we saw with J.J. Abrams, and you had that little character walk up to him. That's great for a background character. You really can't do – you couldn't have that character be a main character. It wouldn't look right. It'd get dumb. Mm-hmm. It just wouldn't work right after a while. But having the vehicles, having those on set, having as much on set as possible, whether it be like Dagobah where you have all the trees that are around or you – like the Yabba base where you have actually have vehicles sitting behind them and then having a map painting off in the distance, that sort of thing. Whereas in the prequels, you had like maybe one vehicle sitting there and that was CGI. That actually wasn't even sitting there. So yeah, I want to see more practical effects in this film. So more things that are tangible there on the set. And we've already seen the X-Wing. We see the officer come run up, pilot come run up and get into it behind J.J. Abrams. So, we know we're going to have some of that. So that's what I'm looking forward to, and I want to see more of.
Yeah, I think you're not alone there, Chris. I didn't even think of that, but that is a great point. And I know a lot of fans are excited that we're getting all this practical stuff. I mean, all the locations they're going to, like you said, we got that X-Wing video and then the first video that JJ did about his Force for Change, seeing the characters. And yeah, it's just like, wow, this guy's really going back. They're shooting it on 35 millimeter and this and that. So
that's Star Wars.
Practical thing. Yeah. What's that?
I said, that's Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, talk about going back to its roots or whatever. He's doing that. And I'm excited about that too. Just no. And you're right, Chris. I mean, you can't do a movie like this. You got to have CGI. I mean, it's just, and the way CGI is now, it's really, really, it's really good. I mean, they know what they're doing. And, you know, Marvel's and Lucasfilm, they're going to knock all the CGI stuff out of the park. So I'm not worried about that.
Exactly.
And like you said, you have to have it. I mean, there's just certain things that you can't do. And the stuff that I'm going to want to see, one of my top thing I want to see, I mean, you can't do that without CGI. So a little bit at least. So we'll see. But yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to that. Number five for me is I want to see, Chris, some unique new vehicles and spaceships and starships. I mean, there's one thing that Star Wars universe has. It's some creative, it's futuristic, it's these imaginative, vehicles and starships that have always, throughout the whole trilogy. I'm not just talking about the OT stuff. I'm talking about the whole thing, the whole saga. It's got some crazy, cool ships and vehicles. And when you have a ship like the Millennium Falcon that is almost a character, I mean, when you talk about the Millennium Falcon, the quirkiness of it, the way it hand has to hit it and talk to it sometimes, you know, it's like it's a freaking character. And that's kind of what I'm looking forward to see what they do. And I don't know that we've already seen like the X-Wing and stuff like that, but I want to see some new stuff, some really cool stuff. I mean, these, like the Star Destroyer, is so simple, but it's just such a cool vehicle. And the AT-ATs, I mean, look at the walkers. I mean, pretty simple thing, you know, but it just looks so cool. And I can't wait to see what these guys, creative team with JJ and the rest of them have to do when they do some of these new vehicles. So I'm looking forward to seeing some unique new vehicles in the sequel trilogy.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't have that on my list, but, I agree. We've seen a different model of the X-Wing, and I think that the fact that we know we have the Millennium Falcon, that is the
ship
that connects it and grounds it into the original trilogy, and therefore everything else can be, like you said, new, different, exciting. Like, I want to see what a further down model of the TIE fighter or something will look like. You know, all that stuff, just so exciting. And that's the same thing to me as a little bit about practical effects, getting to see all the new vehicles and what they actually bring onto the set. Another one for me, let's see, number five. I want to see some characters that we've already seen in the original trilogy, say for like Lando. I still would like to see him come up, even if it's not in episode 7, but later on. I want to see characters like a Wedge or, you know, those type characters, so that we saw very minimal characters, Admiral Akbar or something. I want to see some of those type characters brought back into this story. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it would be awesome to see Wedge come walking in with Luke or something. Mm-hmm. You know, Wedge being a part of the battle, Admiral Akbar being a part of it. That's something that I want to see. I want to see something of a small character and have it, doesn't necessarily have to be embellished any, but it would be nice if they can bring one of those small characters into the forefront, into the group some. I think that would be fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you hear, speaking of Wedge, maybe you didn't hear, like, the actor who played Wedge, Dennis Lawson, he said he didn't really want to have anything to do with Star Wars anymore.
Huh. Yeah.
I'm taking it out of context. I don't know exactly how he said it, but basically it was like, hey, I'm not going to be in this. It's not my thing. And it's kind of like, oh man, that's kind of, Wedge is kind of like one of those, you know, characters that everybody loves. Like, oh yeah, Wedge, you know, he was like Luke's right hand man for the whole span. Yeah. So,
but I guess we'll have a different actor playing it.
But yeah, you know, yeah, I guess if you really had to. But yeah, definitely, like, that was like one of the big things when that cast photo came out. It was like, oh man, where's Lando? You know, like, How could you not have Lando there, man? He was there at the celebration. I mean, he was integral in blowing up the Death Star. I mean, how could he not be there? You know, what's he doing? You know, it's like, oh, man, but it doesn't mean he might not be in 8 or 9.
Yeah. He just might not be involved in this point of the story. That's the thing.
Right, right. But definitely seeing some of those. And God, come on. Akbar, home one? How can you not want to see that? Let's go.
Or Akbar's son. How about that?
Yeah. The little mini Akbar. There you go. So I'm going to go with, as my number four is, continuity. And what I mean by that is, we're at a strange time in films where a lot of the franchises are doing these fresh starts, they're doing these reboots, and do they really need to? I mean, look at Spider-Man. It did another reboot. It's like, well, what was wrong with the first iteration of Spider-Man? I know, like, the effects are going to be different, and that's going to be different, a little bumped up, a little ramped up, but story-wise, did we really need that? I don't know. I didn't really. I thought that first Spider-Man trilogy was fine, and the second one it doesn't really do much for me. I was like, okay, it's fine, but
what is wrong with you?
The new Spider-Man?
I love the first Amazing Spider-Man.
It was good, but I just didn't see why they had to reboot it. You know what I mean? It's like, what was?
Sorry, this
I could see him continuing the story.
This isn't
do a whole reboot.
Yeah, this isn't a Star Wars topic, but since you said it,
yeah, go ahead.
Well, to me, Spider-Man, the other three, and Amazing Spider-Man is two different things because it's two different comic series.
Mm-hmm.
That's the whole difference,
right?
Because in the other one, he had. MJ was his girlfriend, and in this one, Gwen's his girlfriend. It could kind of a reboot, but it's two different comic series, so Spider-Man's different.
Mm-hmm.
They all had the same backstory, so, you know, whatever.
Well, and to your point, I mean, look at Batman. I mean, you have to admit that reboot was what Nolan did.
Oh,
kind of trumped everything that was done
before.
Because I like some of the older Batman stuff too. Don't get me wrong.
Well, I agree that, yeah, it really didn't need rebooting, but they wanted to do something different with different villains. So I was like, more power to them because I can't get enough Spider-Man. You know, Spider-Man.
So, yeah.
But anyway.
But I think continuity for this franchise is really important.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, how many times have we had arguments about, not us personally, but have you heard about arguments about EU and they finally put that EU thing to bed with the Legends. But I think the continuity thing is a big thing for a lot of people. And especially for me, it's like, I love knowing that what I'm watching is either George's vision or the vision that is now this new story group. And it's something that I can, like, yeah, that's it. Like some of the books and stuff that I read are just for fun. I know, like, this is not, you know, necessarily what's going to happen. It could get trumped, and I just read it for fun. So, but, you know, we know that some of this continuity stuff is playing out. I mean, Mark Hamill's coming back. Carrie's coming back. Harrison's coming back. So I think they are on that wheel of the continuity and keeping things in line with the whole saga. So I'm not too worried about that particular one, but this is something that I hope that they follow. So that's my number four. What do you got for your number four, Chris?
I think my number four kind of falls with your number four. Mm-hmm. I have I want a story that picks up where it left off, but 30 years later. What I mean is, and this is what I had an argument with my cousin about in this other stupid story. My cousin, he wants to see it go, Christopher Nolan Batman. That's what he wants. You know, and great, all for whatever they want to do, but you can't take these characters who brought down the Empire at the end of Jedi and are a group and are together, and you clearly see Han and Leia are going to be together, because they are together, not going to be together, they're together at the end of the movie. I don't want to see something come up, we go to watch this, and something's like, oh, well, what in the world happened in the last 30 years, and that's something that we got to find out as the movie goes along. Well, what happened between them? You know, Han and Luke meet for the first time in 30 years. Come on, that's ridiculous. That's what I mean. I want to see something where it picks up, not time-wise. I don't want it to pick up, obviously, right behind Jedi, because that wouldn't work. But I want, you understand what I mean, I think.
Right.
I want this. how that movie felt, how it finished, I wanted to pick up into this story and the continuity. So I kind of think that pretty much falls in line with what you're saying.
Yeah.
I want it to be continuity.
Right. It's kind of the same vein there, definitely. That goes totally against, like, this whole hand thing, like you were just saying. Luke's gone. I mean, I don't know about that, but... I know what you're talking about. It is kind of the same thing.
You know, when we see these characters meet for the first time in this movie, I want to see and feel they've been together for 30 years.
Right. Yeah. Because I know what you're saying. Yeah. Right.
Even if Luke has gone off and had seen them in 10 years because of what he's doing, that's fine. But there still has to be that solid relationship because. I'm sorry, George wrote those characters that way, and there's no way he's going to change it. I mean, we know he had the basic outline of what he wanted, mm-hmm. of where the story was going to go. So he had the bones, and they have to add to it. So,
right.
You know, my cousin, like you said, he's wanting to see all Christopher Nolan Batman. He wanting to see it go dark. He wants to see the Sith rise and all this, which that's all fine and dandy and great, but he made a comment. He said, you can't have this storybook ending. I'm like, yes, you can. That's how that one ended. Therefore, this part, the characters have to stay the same. Mm-hmm. I mean, everything could go to crap when we come up. You know, it could be like we're watching Empire Strikes Back. You know,
right.
But, you know.
It could be dark, too. I mean, that's everybody talks about how Empire was dark. But it could be dark and still live in that continuity and all that. So
Exactly. Exactly. I mean, look at how episode 3 ended. That thing went so downhill so quick.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about one extreme to the other, bam, but, you know.
Right.
Yeah, it's like you said, just in continuity, it's not so much the story, I guess, it's the characters.
Right. Yeah, good point. That's a good tag on to my continuity. My number 3 is the music, Chris. So, you know, the inner universe music. I want to hear, and we know we're going to get this from Kiner in the Rebels, is a lot of that classic stuff that we love so much infused into the Rebels. Well, I want to see them do that too. And of course, John Williams is coming back, and I'm sure he's going to kick it out of the park and smash it with a new soundtrack and a new vibe like he did with the prequel trilogy. He had some great stuff come out of there. I mean, Duel of the Fates, come on, one of my favorites of all time. But, you know, you still infuse that old stuff, like the Force theme. I mean, you can't change that. You got to put that in there. And just stuff that has just the themes, like let's say we see a Yoda ghost or whatever. You got Yoda's theme. Like I talked about, we see or hear the Force being used in this movie. You hear that Force theme rise up. Or when we see Luke, you know what I mean? Like the classic theme of Luke, or maybe, what else? Hey, let's hear the Cantina band again. Why not? Let's do that. No, but seriously, just that, you know, I want to hear the new stuff, of course. I want to see how John Williams can restart this new sequel trilogy with a great new soundtrack. But I want to hear some of that old stuff too. I mean, that's my Star Wars, is when you hear those old classic themes. And even if he wants to bring the stuff in from the prequel trilogy, that's fine too, man. That's cool. So, the music is another big one for me, Chris. I want to hear some of that classic stuff. So that's my number 3.
You know, I didn't even think about music. I guess I took that for granted, that knowing that John Williams is going to do it.
But yeah, I mean, you can too. Yeah, exactly. Definitely take it for granted. That.
You're absolutely right. John Williams will do it justice. The way he knows how to pull in a piece of this piece to mesh in with the new piece.
Mm-hmm,
and
right.
Like you said, we'll have some new tracks. We'll probably get a new Luke theme, a new Han and Leia theme, maybe a new Han theme, maybe on his own or something. The Empire, whatever it might be, the dark, the bad guys, whatever. But, next thing, some of mine, this one is kind of trivial and in a way, but you know, it's me. Stormtroopers. I want to see stormtroopers, all kinds of troopers, officers. I want there to still be stormtroopers, obviously. But I want to see what they look like. I mean, we see what they look like in Rebels. We know what they look like throughout the saga. Are they still going to look the same or similar, or how are they going to look 30 years down the road? Is the Empire still there? We don't really know yet. So I want to see troopers, and lots of them.
Right.
You know, that's a Star Wars movie. You got to have troopers. You know, the prequels, we had clone troopers. Well, we had battle droids to start with, but then we had clone troopers. Mm-hmm. And I want to see troopers. I don't want to see no battle droids. Unless it's some badass droids or something. But, you know, I want to see troopers in armor. That's Star
Wars.
Yeah,
you know, the stormtroopers were, at the point of Return of the Jedi, I mean, the Empire was thoroughly throughout this whole galaxy. So, you know, I'm sure there's plenty of stormtroopers still out there when they blew up the Death Star and the Emperor was killed. So what happened to them all? Did they regroup? Did the Empire kind of lay low? And that's the thing. We don't know what's going on with this next sequel trilogy. And that actually, Chris, will piggyback right into my number two is.
Cool.
What, you know, I want to see a good quote unquote bad guy. You know what I mean? I want to see a good baddie. We've had some fantastic bad guys in the Star Wars saga. Darth Vader, of course, my favorite. The Emperor, Darth Maul, Darth Tyrannus, even Grievous. So we've had some really fascinating and fantastic bad guys in this universe. And, you know, we need that clever enemy in this new trilogy. And like I said, we have no idea yet of what we're going to get. I mean, I've heard rumors about the Yuuzhan Vong. And of course, I've heard rumors about the Emperor coming back as a clone. And is the Empire still in play? I don't know. I don't know where we're going. And it's going to be fun to find out how this works. And this kind of rolls into this Adam Driver who was cast. He just has that look of like he's going to be a bad guy. He just, the way his face is, he just has a bad guy face to me. I don't know why I see that. I just do. So what is he going to be? Is he going to be a Sith? And that's the thing, you know, is it even going to be Sith? Or are there going to be Sith around? I don't know. We're going to see. We're going to find out in a little while. So I just want to see a really kick-ass bad guy come back to this sequel trilogy. So that's my number two, man, my number two. What do you got?
Well, I'll just roll right into my number two. I've got Empire and or Sith.
Okay.
You know, I'm like,
so you want to see the Sith back?
Oh.
Because I know this is another thing, too. I mean, a lot of people are like, do we want to rehash what we've already seen?
I don't think
I would mind it.
You know, to me, obviously, the remnants of the Empire was still there. I'm sure it'll still be there at some point. Just, we don't know how much. And, yeah, I think the Sith would still be there. I don't, with it not being, you know, people say, it's not a rehash. That's what it is. It's Sith. Sith was, you know, dead for a millennium they thought of, and then Palpatine comes up.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sith. It's just a matter of what role are they going to be playing. Do we get a new mystery Sith? You know, what is, like you said, what is the bad guy? What is the, is it going to be just the Empire? Is it going to be the Empire messed with some of the Sith, like in Episode 4? You know, what is it? Because obviously, I kind of look at it this way. You know, Palpatine was in charge of the Empire, and he was a Sith. So they kind of go hand in hand. So I'm just, that's what I want to see. I'm anxious to see, like you said, the baddie. What are we going to get? Mm-hmm. I can guarantee you whatever we see, whatever they tell us, whatever we get before the movie, that ain't going to be the half of it. Whatever it is, they're going to flip it or something. There'll be something else added to it, you know. Yeah, we're like with Rebels, we're seeing the Inquisitor, and we're also now seeing this new Agent Callus, who's like under him or whatever, and we'll see how all that plays out. But this is, I can see. I hope they don't bring Vader back for
that
just
was,
some
yeah,
quirky reason.
What's up with that? Rumor?
Or even the Emperor. I don't want to see him come back just for some quirky reason. You know, if it's plausible, if it makes perfect sense, then more power to him, but don't do that just to be doing it.
Yeah, and this is, like I said, there'd be a lot of talk about this. Do we want to see the Sith back? I mean, a lot of people say, hey, that was already tackled in episode, or, you know, the OT, whereas it's been handled, the Sith are down, you know, the balance is back in the Force, but I still think you can bring it back. I mean, even like this Adam Driver, like we talked about, you know, could he be an offspring of Han that, you know, that eventually turns to the dark side. I mean, we see the Jedi were wiped out, but they come back. Why can't the Sith be wiped out? Why can't they come back, you know?
Well, you know, like you, he mentioned, that it's been said the Yuuzhan Vong, that could be the antagonist for this particular trilogy or this particular movie.
Sith, right?
Yeah. Well, right. I mean, the Empire and the Sith could still be there. It'd just not be the main focus or the main enemy in this film, per se. But to me, it doesn't matter what they do throughout history. The Sith has always been there, even the Empire, in different forms, the Old Republic, New Republic, you know, the Empire. It's all basically the same thing, just different belief system. But then you get, no matter who they go up against, there's still going to be either the Empire or the Sith that's above them. So it, to me, I don't know.
It's
part of the fabric. That's what it is. I mean, to me, it would be like saying, okay, we're not going to have the rebels anymore. Well, what are you talking about? You can't. They're there. Mm-hmm. You know, same thing with Jedi. They're there.
right, exactly. And it's like hard to think of like going to a Star Wars movie and you're not going to see a Sith and a Jedi battle. You know, it's like, whoa, how could you top that? You know, why would you not want to revisit that classic? I mean,
yeah,
it's just crazy.
Yeah, to me, it's what other characters are going to be involved in it, like the Yuuzhan Vong. Are they going to be involved? Are they going to be used as pawns? You know,
right? Yeah.
What all is going to be going with it? There's so many things that they could do. So,
That kind of ties into my number one, Chris. And this is my number one. This is the thing that I got to see, and that is the Force / lightsaber battles and lightsaber combat. And let me break this down. Like, that's my favorite thing about this whole saga. I mean, this is what drew me in as a kid. I was always a fan of fighting and martial arts and stuff like that and sword fighting. And then as a 7-year-old, and 8 and 10 and 12, watching these movies and to see a laser sword, a lightsaber being used in combat, it was just like, just blew this young kid's mind, you know? So I've always had just that love of watching two guys battle, bad guy, good guy, with a simple, elegant weapon like a lightsaber. And from the beginning, since Star Wars, when we first saw him, I'm like, wow, look at this. This is crazy. And then Empire, it ramps up. You know, you get a little more acrobatics. And then in Episode 3, you have that classic fight between Vader and Luke at the very end, just so powerful and emotional. And then, Chris, you jump to the prequel trilogy, and we see Jedi in their prime. We get Nick Gillard doing some crazy stuff with Ray Park. And I tell you what, that was we've done an episode on our favorite lightsaber battles, Chris, and you can find that in our archives. Number two was the Ewan McGregor, Liam Neeson, Ray Park fight in The Phantom Menace. I mean, that thing was kick ass. And
number two,
it's just, and then you see that, and then you go into Episode 2, and it ramps up a little bit. You see double, you know, Anakin using two lightsabers, and you go to Episode 3, and you get the classic battle. And then jump to this new sequel trilogy. I want to see some Force powers and some lightsaber stuff that we haven't seen before. I want to see some of the stuff we've heard about. I mean, the Force put in, the Force repulse, the Force, all the stuff they can do. I mean, in that Force Unleashed game, I mean, this guy is crazy powerful. He takes down a Star Destroyer by the Force. I mean, will they get into that? I mean, is Luke going to be that powerful to do stuff like this? Are we going to see these new Jedi that come up? Are they going to be able to do some of these crazy Force powers? I mean, look at this new cast. There's two new people that they cast, Chris. And one of them, I believe, this guy they cast is a parkour, like, expert, right? And they showed this clip of him going crazy, doing all this parkour stuff all over the place. I'm like, wow, I can see this guy using this as a Force type of a thing or a Jedi type of a use of the Force or whatever. I mean, you can see it like, oh man, maybe they're going to incorporate this into some fighting. So I just want to see them ramp up the Force power. I want to see them ramp up the lightsaber battles and just reach that next level like the prequel trilogy did from the original trilogy. I want to see the sequel trilogy do that. I want to see them ramp up and just, I want to be blown away by some fights and some choreography and some crazy Force power. Blow me away, Chris. I want to see that. That's my number one. What do you got?
Well, That's not my number one, but my number one might kind of fall with it.
Okay.
I have to see the Jedi Order.
Yeah.
I want to see the remnants of it, the start of it. I want to see something, whether it's the initial beginning, Luke just now starting it, Luke already started it, you know, whatever. And like you said, I want to see Luke's powers.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see that Luke is powerful enough that he could just destroy someone in a blink.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to see it. I want to see him do it. Like I said, I would love to see him, like, be on the Star Destroyer or something, captive or, you know, anything. And he looks out, and there's a spaceship coming into a fighter or something, and he just crumples it or something.
Right.
Just standing, something.
So you would want to see him even more powerful than Yoda showed in when he was in the movies.
Yes.
That would be, see, I think the same way. I want to see.
I think Luke will surpass, Luke is to be the greatest one. I think he's going to be the strongest one. Yeah, and like you're talking about from the Star Wars Unleashed. I mean, pulling a Star Destroyer out of orbit down the ground, that's what I want to see. I want to see something big like that. I want to see him throw a lightsaber and cut somebody down with the blade still going.
Yeah.
You know, throw it at them and control it. That's one. We've seen Yoda throw it into the trooper's chest. We've seen Darth Vader throw it at the catwalk. I want to see someone throw a lightsaber and it, like, spin around and cut a couple people in half and then come right back to them. I want to see that.
Yeah. you know, I'm reminded of a couple of the trailers that came out a while back about some games. And it was The Force Unleashed 2 had a nice, cool trailer showing some great, crazy force powers and some fighting. And then that Old Republic trailer showed some crazy stuff. They did some things with the camera angles and the slow-mo that I thought was really cool looking, I mean, and the fighting as well. So that kind of goes into my number one as well, is like the way they film it, the way they choreograph it. And I know it's kind of, I don't know, some people might think it's gimmicky, but I kind of like the way it looks is when, and they showed it in that trailer, is they were fighting and they slow it down for just a few seconds so you kind of see what's going on, and then it speeds up again.
Yeah.
And for me, I don't know, it's just one of those things I kind of like. I know some people might not like it, but I just thought that was kind of a cool new take on Star Wars. And I just want to see him do that with this new trilogy. Just ramp it up. I want to see all that stuff to the next level. And like you said, even the Jedi Order, that's another thing. How cool would it be to see Luke, and they talk about him maybe on Yavin, you know, with his own at the temple on Yavin, starting a new Jedi Order. I mean, that would be kind of cool. I'd love to see that, too. Man. And like you said, I want to see him, after this long, he's got to be, like you said, he's got to be very powerful. And, you know, he's the son of Anakin. He's the son of the Chosen One. Why wouldn't he be able to get to that level of master?
And still being trained by Yoda, I believe, after his death.
Yeah. Like I said, this goes back to our earlier ones with the Force Ghost.
Yeah, you know? I want to see a temple like those Masani temples, something old like that. Can you imagine, if you're sitting there talking about trailers, can you imagine a trailer or something like it comes up and you see, like, maybe Luke from the side with his, in his Jedi, you know, Return of the Jedi outfit with the cloak. You see it from the side, and the camera kind of pans around, and you see him pull the right hand with the glove on and his lightsaber out, and then it flicks on. That would be...
Right.
People would go nuts. It'd be kind of like the deleted scene that they did where he's working on the saber and then lights it up. Something similar to that.
Yeah, definitely.
They got to give us some kind of you know, whatever the first teaser we're going to get is going to be something, I think, familiar like that.
Yeah, maybe. I wish we had a teaser right now. Man, it just seems like it's just taking long. It's like time's slowing down. It's like, God, we still got that much longer to go. But so anyway, that's some of the stuff that me and Chris would like to see in this new secret trilogy. What do you guys think? I mean, did we match up with any of your stuff? If not, hey, let us know what you want to see, and we'll talk about it. We can even mention it the next episode. If you're listening to this and you want to, just give us a few things, whether you put it on Facebook or email us or whatever, man. Just let us know. What do you want to see in this new sequel trilogy? So Other than that, Chris, that's going to wrap it up. You want to let everybody know actually where they could do that, where they can find us?
Yeah, you can get in touch with us and email at podcast@galacticfinder.com or like Facebook, facebook.com/StarlightPitPodcast. Also, we got Classic Star Wars, and that's a great page on Facebook. Twitter, @StarlightPitCast, and then also @ClassicStarWars. Our main pages. You get a lot of action on the Classic Star Wars. So.
Yeah, definitely. And then you got the Star Wars Now, right?
Yes, yes. Sorry, forgot all about that. Facebook.com/StarWarsNow. That's the one where we keep everybody up to date with Star Wars Rebels, Episode 7, anything that's coming out news-wise, anything Star Wars.
Right.
It's not separated to be classic or separated to modern Star Wars. It's all Star Wars.
Yes, definitely. That's a fun one, too. So, you guys know where to go. Let us know what you think. But that's going to do it for this week. Chris, anything else before we sign off?
No, I think that's it.
All right, man. So, like I said, next week or next time, we hope to have a guest, Alex Ryback, on. You might have heard him on the Scum and Villainy podcast that I think they closed shop. And so he's going to come over and hang with us. And we'll talk about, I guess we'll think of a topic, but we'll have something to talk about. So we'll have him on next time.
We'll talk Star Wars.
Yeah, definitely talking Star Wars. So with that, that's going to do it for Chris. My name is Matt. We thank you guys for hanging with us for a little bit in the Sarlacc Pit, and we will see you guys next time.
Thank you for joining us on the Sarlacc Pit, the official podcast of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com. Star Wars, its logo, and all things in the Star Wars universe are the property of Lucasfilm Limited. All rights reserved. All original content within this podcast, unless otherwise indicated, is the intellectual property of GalacticBinder.com and YodasNews.com.